Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
This is crazy. Wow. I was just listening to the Super Hoopers. It's finally...
That's what I was just
Dave Peterick, more than just on Twitter. He's a person with a face right there. This is great. Number one Game of Zone super fan, John Hill. Woo!
Thank you. I love how I love how both of you crammed for this test.
Smart.
Have you ever been to a volcano? When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
Hey, Matt here. Before we get into the podcast, just have to pause, take care of some things, remind you about Bet Online. Can't bet in person because of, you know, social distancing. So Bet Online, it's betonline.ag. A lot of stuff going on. They got the NFL, NBA, simulated NFL, NBA, UFC, NASCAR, all that. Promo code BlueWire to receive your welcome bonus. All right, back to the episode. We got Adam and Craig Malamud on from Game of Zones, of course. You know, my bosses. I was, of course, writer on the last three seasons. Just wrapped up its final season. A season that John did not even watch. Or did he? All right, stay tuned. Back to the episode.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just won a fucking
That's what you said, man.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Super Hoopers.
That's terrible.
Welcome to Super Hoopers, inconsequential discussion of the NBA. Is that what I say? NBA news. That's right. I forgot. Wow. I'm so nervous. Wow. I'm so in my head because we got guests today. It's me.
Matt's got his bosses here. So
Dave, it's
just falling apart.
Former.
Wow.
Former.
Hey, Matt.
Former
Matt. When I hung out with Colangelo, I kept it together. All right. You gotta keep it together.
All right. And we got Adam and Craig Malamud from Game of Zones.
Woo!
Formally Game of Zones.
Yes. Guys, yeah. I'm drinking champagne.
It's over. It ended. Nah. Last episode aired, whatever, last week. You guys are slumming it here with us. You were on the Low Post.
Yeah.
You were on Howard Beck's podcast.
Twice.
You were on some like tech bro.
Everything.
Smart techie thing.
Smart techie, front office sports, you name it. There's a lot of places people can know us. People don't even know us for Game of Zones anymore.
From your podcast appearances where they ask you the same questions over and over again.
That's true. Wow.
Which we're about to do. We'll probably just ask you the same questions. That you've been asked.
It takes 8 weeks to make an episode.
Does it though? There's been some episodes that got turned around real fast though.
That's true.
That Colangelo thing around in a few days, if I remember.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that was a special circumstance.
How do you guys decide how to do each voice for each character?
how do we decide?
Hey, Adam, I think I've heard your Vlada impression on in like 8 podcasts. That's the line you always do too.
Listen, we're here to give you the real deal. Okay, the reason we're ending the show is because Bleacher Report fucked us.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
We're not gonna edit that.
No.
Be clear, that's a complete joke Adam was making.
Why did they cancel it though? Seriously, why did they cancel
it? Yeah, it just wasn't getting the numbers, you know, these days.
But in all seriousness, it was getting the numbers. You guys ended it on your own. Last season, massive success from my unbiased view. Were there any criticisms? Do you guys see any criticisms online? Is there anything that you would have changed?
Some people were upset that we made Paul Pierce.
But that's
the joke.
I feel like people I was a little mad that people thought that we made Paul Pierce the GOAT, because that's not exactly what happens.
Paul Pierce is writing
the history, and in Paul Pierce's head, he's the GOAT. So it's not like we said he's the GOAT. We said Paul Pierce says he's the GOAT.
Yeah. It's ambiguous.
I knew that.
But,
I knew that.
But if you read the like, internet,
Paul Pierce is the GOAT.
That's true. And, I mean, we looked at the numbers, and clearly he was the GOAT. But the thing is, like, if you read internet comments, you realize that like there's many different levels of comprehension, and so it was no surprise that like a lot of people like were really upset that you know we declared Paul Pierce the GOAT. It's kind of sad because I think a lot of people like take this seriously, and like they were really hyped up for it. And then I feel like we didn't take it as seriously as a lot of the fans did.
People use Game of Zones in like debates I've seen in the comment section, like in like Twitter randomly. They'll be like, well, you know, in Game of Zones, they had LeBron beat Jordan. So, I mean, like, you got to admit, you know.
If by people, do you mean Paul Pierce himself, who says that he's the GOAT because Game of Zones? Yes.
So, right.
Yeah.
No, but I thought that was crazy. Like, people, like, people were expecting in the final episode there's like the showdown between Jordan and LeBron, and people were they expecting you guys to have the definitive like say, like to actually play it out, like what I don't know, what did they think the show was? It's a joke, obviously, that like the episode's gonna end
I
on
feel
something
like
funny.
I feel like ending things, like what you learn is like ends are so hard. It's so easy to end things on a cliffhanger. And then people are like, yo, this is so hype. This is great. And that's like what J.J. Abrams did all the time. I don't watch Lost, but I imagine that's what he did all the time in Lost. And like, but to end things, like, you never, ever are going to hit that satisfying feeling that everyone's expecting. Like, yo, this is building towards something crazy. You'll never hit that. So I feel like there's always disappointment.
I will say, my original idea for this episode was that I was going to go into Reddit and find, like, the worst trolls and just take their comments about it and ask you those like those questions that they had. It's impossible. Like, it really is impossible. Like, people are like very positive, very, very happy with what you guys did.
It
completely ruined my bit. So yeah. Thanks.
Well, no one,
thank you.
No,
usually
one
Dave ruins
John.
His own bits.
That's true. Yeah.
Huge fan. Drinking champagne to celebrate your guys' final episode.
Super fan John Hill. You've been with us since day
huge
one.
You, day
John,
one.
Who is? What's your favorite episode?
Ooh, my favorite episode. You know, it's a tough one because I love them all. I really, you know, I think they're all. It's like your favorite children. You can't pick your favorite children.
You know what? That's actually a really good answer. That's true. Like every episode has something for everyone. And so
that's
like,
something for everyone.
I think like that is the true connoisseur's answer.
I think like your children, John, you've never seen them. So
oh, whoa. What are you talking about? There was no. There was the episode with
the Kevin Garnett.
The Kevin Garnett one. Yeah. I was gonna say that. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah. Also the Paul Pierce one.
The Paul Pierce one.
I like the Denver Nuggets episode. The Denver Nuggets episode's great.
Oh, that's true. I mean, like Isle of Van Gundy's is pretty incredible.
Isle of Van Gundy's is my favorite, probably.
Yeah, good one. That's a good one too. I remember.
Also,
remember that one.
Also, trade ones just because it's so like Monty Python. Like I was like such a Monty Python fan. It's such a like holy grail show.
If I'm being honest, Dave, you sound like someone who really doesn't watch the show. Where it's like someone like John, you know, who really has seen all the episodes and knows that they are all equivalent in greatness. Like that's the true fan's answer.
Yeah. That's you can't, you know, it's like saying Empire's better. It's not, it's a whole collection. It's from start to finish.
I fivered a guy to watch them for me. He gave me notes, but
thank you.
All right, what else did he tell me?
I'm surprised John didn't do that. You should have fivered someone to give you the cliff notes on Game of Zone so you could sound smartier.
Matt, why would I need to do it?
I think it's like an hour.
Why would I need
it's like
to do that?
Have a Jordan documentary episode.
Yeah. That's what I told John. I was like, John, you could watch the entire final season in less than 30 minutes.
I like spreading them out. I watch them with the average commoner in the world.
The anti-binge.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. No. You have to be part of the culture. So you need to watch it as other people watch.
Adam, there's a tweet that you sent out on May 21st. I just thought of a better plot for the last Game of Zones season.
Oh yeah,
but they're telling me it's too late to change the whole season because the final episode goes up in 3 hours.
Yeah,
is that true? Did you think of something better?
Better is subjective. That was more for, you know, like the tweet to make it a little more exciting. But I had this idea where, like, what if it was like the East was the North, and it was like the East had to put together a super team, and then they had to go fight the dream team themselves with just like the goofy East, like Eastern Conference players. And then Cersei was in the West. And so sort of like it mimics Game of Thrones like that. So you have the East and the North, and then after they defeat the dream team, they have to go face the West. But there's no real Cersei. That would have been better for Steph when the Warriors were good. So that was, yeah. I was toying with anything like that. But to be honest, Matt, like, it was really just a funny tweet. Yeah.
Just for the tweet. All right. Is there anything you saw because one of the things you said is like, it's really hard to end things. And I think being a part of this season made me appreciate that, because I was reading Reddit as the episodes would come out and people would have these theories. And I realized, oh, everybody who has a theory is going to be disappointed because, like, you know, we didn't do what their theory was, and they're getting really invested in their theory. And now I understand why, like, finales are almost always a letdown. Is there anything you saw that you're like, oh man, like, we should have done that or changed that in any way?
There definitely was. I can't remember, but I remember someone saying, like, oh, it's going to be Ray Allen last minute shooting a dagger three. The confidence with which they say these things, it's like, and it's always just some like random figure, you know, it's not completely random, but it's like there's a billion ways.
No, but they were smart, because like the Ray Allen they were talking about with the Heat, I think, or whatever it was when he hit that three, when with the Spurs. And then was it against the Spurs that it happened? I don't know. I don't watch that much basketball.
It was against the Spurs, yeah.
And then another good idea was Isaiah Thomas, because of the whole thing with we should have figured out how to get Isaiah Thomas in there.
The thing was, it's like this thing was written or like plotted out way before the Dream Team talk or the Jordan doc. And I feel like Isaiah Thomas and the Isaiah Thomas Jordan beef, like, nobody even remembered that, or nobody, that wasn't like, it like bubbled up with the Jordan doc.
It was Gary Payton we were talking about. They were going to go to Seattle and Gary Payton was going to like guide them through and show them like the swamp lands.
Made up world. I feel like without the Jordan doc, people would have been like, not even looking for Isaiah Thomas. But anyways, I don't know. I liked it. I thought everything worked.
Classic. Like, we had to cut things down so much. So like Matt knows, like with that first scene when they were like doing the war room and they're all like strategizing against the dream team. That scene was much longer. We ended up cutting it down. But in that scene, I thought we were gonna have like Isaiah Thomas and some other random players chiming in, but it didn't happen. I don't know. I don't know if that's interesting.
But why did you have to cut it down?
welcome to a constant debate.
I think it's because like our episode, like our pipeline is built for like 7 minute episodes, and we were sending like 12 minute episodes down the pipeline, and you see like our animation production manager just like, he like the big swallows he does, and so good news, we've got it down to 11 minutes. And he's like, and like, he's just like.
Or no, the best was episode 2 of this season when we're like, we want to put every single character ever in Game of Thrones into one scene. And like his face is like turned white. Yeah. And he's like.
Well, also the fight is like episode 3 was supposed to be the long episode. You were like, hey, you know, this episode's going to be 13 minutes, but we don't really have much for the final episode. So it'll be like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And then the finale was. I think almost as long as the third episode.
It was 6 seconds shorter of like pure animation. But that's because we added a minute and 10 second of the battle. That was added like a week before the episode.
Yeah, that was something that was really cool, where you guys were on top of seeing how the episodes were being consumed and realizing like people are going to really expect a battle. Like, we thought it'd be funny just to not do the battle. And then, you know, you guys were like, no, we need to do the battle. And you were able to put that in there. You put that together in like a week.
The problem was that like originally the idea was that the media dome gets destroyed, and so no one's going to see what happened. But it just didn't, we felt like we hyped it up so much that it'd be like such an obvious like trick or like, you know, cheap way out. And so we're like, we've got to give people something. We can't just like hype up
still Jordan, cheap way out,
Jordan and LeBron armies charging at each other and just cut to like the farm. Plus like that's the farm timing. Like we're like Jordan Farmar. Plus no one picked up that it was Jordan Farmar and he's a farmer talking about Michael Jordan.
I got that, Adam. I got that.
John got that. That's the one comment I saw,
that.
You know, but
I got that.
John makes the Easter egg video. That was the one, guy.
That was the one part John saw.
No, come on.
He saw that in a clip on that somebody posted on Twitter.
Do you guys watch the Easter egg videos? Because there's a guy on YouTube that watches the Easter egg videos. Do you watch those?
I watch some of them. I find it very hard to watch reaction videos. Those things are incredibly awkward.
Adam always sends them to me and I can't.
How is that a genre of YouTube? Any of you guys watch reaction videos?
I don't watch the reaction videos, no. but I think they're big on Twitch. I think like people will watch stuff on Twitch and react to it and like I'm just cringy. Old, I guess. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think reaction videos peaked with Two Girls One Cup.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. Right.
That was
right.
good. That was good entertainment for a while.
Yeah, that is the Citizen Kane of reaction videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Citizen Kane. Like, whoa, man, I gotta see this grandma react to Two Girls One Cup.
But what I find interesting about you guys is you do read a lot of the response to it. And do you think that you know, when you make stuff in the future, is that something you'll do, or is that because with Game of Zones, you have to really stay on top of like all 30 teams and like really what's going on with every fan base? Or do you think you'll keep reading, you know, responses, you know, next thing you make?
I think it's mostly insecurity.
Yeah.
Well, because usually they tell you not to do it because it's like, because, you know, the one bad comment will stick with you versus the 100 good comments. Just like
that's true. That's how we're built. But that's the tool. The thing is that the hating, like our anxiety about people not liking our stuff or not liking us is like the chisel that we use to make this thing. Like we're constantly simulating every type of person I've ever met. I'm like, will this person like it? Will this person like it? I'm just hitting this thing with anxieties. And so like, I don't even see the good parts. I'm just like, oh, that I can feel this person not liking that. So like,
go
ahead, Craig.
Sorry. It's sort of like if you fix all the problems, you know, like, then like you wake up at one point at the end, you're like, it actually isn't a total piece of crap that you thought it was at the beginning. If you're just, all you're doing is focusing on the negative and fixing those
just
things.
Hit it, I think you just hit it.
It's also a way to be really unhappy.
Yeah. But so I think if you don't focus on Matt's jokes, yeah, you guys put on a pretty good show.
We do cut a lot of Matt's jokes. We leave some of them in there, but a lot of times they...
I do
wonder because like you guys really started to hit your stride in season 4 and then you decided to hire Matt immediately after that. Understand the thinking.
For like tax write-off purposes?
Yeah.
Like, could you write Matt's jokes off as losses?
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean?
Has Matt accrued like a bunch of debt that should have been Bleacher Reports, but it's in his name?
Where is Bleacher Reports laundering money through Matt?
Oh no, we need like $100,000 of corrections. We used a couple of Matt's jokes. Yeah. They didn't test well, so just put it in the Malamute fund.
It is a good question. I don't know why we needed a writer. I think it was because Craig was getting annoyed because I take forever and I just needed help. And I was just, I'm like a perfectionist and I obsess and there was just no one else except for me. And it was very frustrating for Craig. We've tried some people and different people like CJ Toledano, I know has been on the show. Like he helped out a little bit, but he got busy. And Matt, we liked that Matt had
teammate of mine.
Yep.
Teammate of mine. CJ.
Well, you guys play in his backyard I see his backyard sometimes as a backyard.
Little rec league. Oh, these days, we don't play at all, but yeah.
But that's cool.
Total scumbag. Total scumbag.
Yeah. What's the best part of his game?
That he drives and takes weird shots.
Is he a chucker?
Yeah, he's a chucker. But he dresses better than anybody.
He's got an amazing an amazing closet full of eBay stuff from the 90s. So I got to give him props for that. We're talking about Matt and hiring Matt. Sorry. And then Matt had made Spurs Special Forces, which if your listeners haven't seen, I recommend. It was very funny. Were you guys voices in that?
Dave's Tony Parker.
Okay, unmistakable.
Not to sidetrack you further, but I do remember, like, I worked really hard to get a good Tony Parker, like, impression, like, sounding like him, and Matt was like, dude, you, that's not how, like, animation works. You gotta, like, do, like, an over-the-top, like, French, like, cartoon voice.
Dave actually sounded like him.
I was trying to be all subtle.
I was like, no. Just fucking be a Frenchie, okay?
Yeah. Just sound like a baguette.
I don't know.
I don't know if I agree. You know, and I'm, you know, just kind of wondering, not like asking for anybody in particular, but like, you know, the next project you guys do, do you need like any voice actors, like maybe someone who's done Tony Parker in the past? Like, is that, would that be something that you'd be looking for?
So yeah, our next project, it's about an economics professor in Philly who's a big Sixers fan, but he does, you know, and he's a big Colangelo guy, and he's French. So we need.
Okay, good. I think we can. Wow.
Sounds okay, like if we could combine me and Dave.
It sounded like it combined like the two parts of Matt and John's personalities that I detest the most. Yes. But,
oh yeah, we forgot. I was going to introduce you guys that you guys are Philly scum. I forgot to say that you guys are fellow Philly scum. So what are you guys? Are you guys going to do animation? Is that the next thing you're going to work on, an animated project or live action? Do you think?
I think live action is like physically impossible, right?
Yes.
Choices made.
True. We are doing a Zoom comedy where everybody working from home and filming themselves, and you got this one guy who's got kids and it's ugh. But no, I think I think it'll be definitely animation. But that's one thing we know.
So is the next thing lined up?
No.
Okay.
We Craig and I have like, when we're doing something, we're so focused. Like our time is completely maxed out doing Game of Zones. And so now we're just starting to talk about like, you know, this could be fun or this could be fun.
Got it.
And we're really kind of starting from scratch here. So.
Well, good thing that, they tell you you're supposed to line the next thing up before the other thing airs in case, you know, it was a bomb. But
I think this podcast appearance was what they lined up.
Right.
So now that once this is done.
Yeah. We're just hoping this into some big overall deals.
Yeah, I you guys can get some Blue Chew deals going.
Oh, bad news. I got bad news.
Oh no!
Blue Chew pulled the sponsorship
from us.
For everybody, but we don't know what the cost was. Yeah. Blue Chew pulled out. Hey, what's going on? Do you guys hear that beep, or is that just me?
Yeah, no, I hear it. Yeah,
it's right there. Anyway,
I have a question. Well, what was there a joke that you guys had written that you that didn't make the show that you wish you did? Was there a section or a thing that you really wanted?
A lot that Matt did.
Well, I got a lot. Well, first, like, there's lots of jokes I wrote. No, that's not true.
But I mean, like a concept or something that just couldn't happen for some reason.
Okay, so the joke, you guys can tell me if you want this cut out, we can cut it out. But this is not my joke. Someone, I think Adam or Craig came up with it, is just to have Rudy Gobert in the background of this final season eating a bat. Like every time you see him, he's just in the background eating a bat.
This is your joke, Matt. That was your joke.
That wasn't my joke. That was just a joke I was pushing for. It was in a list of coronavirus jokes that we got. And then I was like, yes, this one. But then I think we all agreed it would have been in poor taste.
Speaking of in poor taste, we had so many in poor taste ones we couldn't do. There was, you know, the whole like plot line in Game of Thrones where like Jon is the child of, Jon Snow is the child of like different people than he thinks he's the child of.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sam Tarly tells him that in like the crypts. We're going to do that with Jimmy Butler finding out that Michael Jordan is his dad.
A little too controversial there. We wanted to do tamper babies, something like that, which is the idea that when people tamper, they have a baby together that like, and the baby doesn't like play basketball. That was one we didn't do. There was one really crazy one where like the Washington players the Wizards players discover that they used to be called the Bullets, and they find like what magic wands downstairs, but they actually are guns, and they learn what guns are, and then I think Gortat gets killed or something like that. But that was a definite hard no. Even like that would never even bubbled up beyond like a second outline. Matt, what else? There's a lot of stuff we talked about that we did. I'm trying to remember.
Man, I can't. I mean,
any good Daryl Morey China jokes?
Oh yeah, that was gonna be the original ending.
Yeah.
What's the original ending?
The original ending was going to be like we were like free to do things now or something.
It was the small council meeting that they have at the end of Game of Thrones.
Right. Oh yeah,
they're all sitting
yeah.
around the table and like society is restored and everyone's grateful and they're like, and there's a new king and it's like Paul Pierce or something and he's like, and there will be freedom of speech and you'll be able to say what you want. And then Daryl Morey is like, oh great, free Hong Kong. He sends a raven out and like no, and it starts all over again.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was actually also the original plot.
Yeah, because of Daryl Morey's tweet. Then China reawakens the Dream Team or something like that. Yeah. It's something like
that. Yeah, the beginning. Yeah, the beginning.
Like Yao Ming or something like that. Yeah,
the first meeting I think we had, you guys said there was this Dream Team plot or we could do this with the Dream Team plot, but whether the Dream Team come from the Soul Box or the Dream Team comes from China, like raising them up to destroy the realm, I think. Yeah,
and you had like the Council of China and it was all the players in China, like Jimmer Fredette, and it was like Stephen Marbury, and it was just like icons of the Chinese basketball league.
Well, we just we went with the other one.
Then TNT shut that down real quick. yeah.
Well, I was always surprised at how much. I mean, I was obviously not privy to whatever interference or notes, but I was always surprised at like what we got away with. It just seemed like we could write whatever. Like you guys never told me like, don't do this, don't do that. It was just like whatever you think's funny, and like there was not much censorship, at least that I saw, but.
No, Bleacher Report was good. We really didn't get that many notes at all. Like, we did get someone did say in the hallway to me, was like, listen, no China stuff. And that was right after Daryl Morey's tweet. And like, fun fact, Craig, you should tell your story about your relationship to that tweet by Daryl Morey.
Oh, yeah. Like right before he sent the tweet about Hong Kong, he had like tweeted something with, I forget what it was.
So right, his tweet before the Hong Kong tweet was happy birthday to Craig.
Oh, right. Yes, happy birthday to Craig. And then right after he tweeted the Hong Kong thing, I got like a bot army from China just like insulting Daryl Morey and just like cursing in Chinese and
hundreds.
Thousands, literally thousands. Like you could just scroll through endlessly. My notifications are going through the roof, all in response to happy birthday, Craig.
It's amazing. It's
the best birthday present I ever got.
That's great. I got next question. Or go ahead.
No, you go. You go, John.
Oh, when do you? Obviously, this thing became kind of like a cultural, you know, of our culture of NBA Twitter phenomenon in the NBA world. Was there a moment where you, during all this, where it hit you that like, holy shit, like this is real, like this is bigger than you know, you thought it was going to be?
Was it like, were you like, holy shit, we have money to hire Matt Hill, we can get Matt Hill on this? Like, was it?
We have money to blow. Yeah, but was there a moment where you're like, wait, why did that guy tweet at me? Or like, I mean, obviously you guys were on the TNT show and stuff like that.
That was like a real crazy moment. That was like insanity, like going on inside the NBA after the Warriors Rockets game, like in Houston. Like it's one thing to like them wanted to talk to us, which we hadn't even talked to them ever, but the fact that it was after a major playoff game like that was really, really weird. So that, I would say that was one of those moments, but it's kind of like a slow burn. It's like first, like it kind of just creeps in, and then all of a sudden, like you get sucked into like the circle of the NBA universe, and then you're like a thing. And I can't, like, there's moments along the way. I don't know if you have one, Craig.
In when we did the Mark Cuban episode, and then Mark Cuban like retweeted it and said like, listen to these guys, or some like he had to like acknowledge it.
What he said.
Said. Yeah. That was a really crazy moment because like Mark Cuban, like, you know, billionaire owner Mark Cuban, you know, for me, like not being as into the NBA as Adam, like seeing someone like Mark Cuban tweet about it was like crazy.
Huge was, Shark Tank fan.
Was Shark Tank guy.
Just huge.
was Dolan ever like, thanks for pushing my music, man? Or
he reached out to us. He brought us into the VIP section at
Madison. We got to go on stage at one of his concerts.
Yeah. He brought us on stage. We got to sing an a cappella thing with him of what's the song he sings?
I played Lou.
Church.
Better find us. Yeah, church, right?
Except
in Gamma Zone.
By the way, the one time Matt like consulted me was he was like, "Oh, we're working on it." It was like the Porzingis episode, and he was like, "Give me like the top 10 horrible things that have happened to the Knicks in the last 20 years," and I filled them in. It was hard to narrow it down.
Yeah. So. And we valued that. I remember because he told us to do a talk to you. I'm like, okay, good. And then I feel like we should have given you a special thanks. We might have, but I don't remember if we did. So if we didn't, then you
dude,
have a blood,
matter.
But a blood
matter.
Feud against us. But
dude, whatever. I knew we'd have you back on the pod at some point, and I could fucking drag you guys for not giving me the credit.
Fuck.
But I see how
it is.
Yeah. No, but I'll man up about it here on the podcast. You know, if we didn't do it, you know, there's still time. We'll give you the special thanks on the 4-5 episode string out that we put together.
The Criterion Collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I forget what we were talking about. But what were we talking about?
When did you know you were a big deal, Adam? When did you like? No, were like, oh shit, I'm a big deal.
Else.
Like.
Oh, it was the Knicks episode.
Next stuff.
For that episode, we brought in like a couple Knicks fans in the office and just said rant and just tell us everything. We always go crazy into research and like, and I'll like, I never, you know, going back to what we were talking about before about how, you know, we always want to make sure like we read the criticism and stuff like that. We never want, we're like sensitive that never want a fan of a team to be like, oh, you guys clearly aren't. We always want it to feel like it's made by fans of the team and like even like the craziest fans. And so like for that Knicks episode, I just went deep into like reading all about, I was like immersed on this black hole of Knicks history and all those things.
How did you
like,
get out of that?
It's still with me. It still hits me at night at 3 a.m. I think about Eddie Curry. But
Oh, God.
But again, we made sure like this is gonna be like we need to make sure we really get it in here. This is gonna be the Knicks rant episode, and it was actually a bottle episode because of Van Gundy Island. We had like 300 different Van Gundys, and then we used our whole budget on that episode because we had to have that many Van Gundys.
the bottle Knicks episode, which was vastly more popular than
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you pay attention, it's just two characters the whole time. It's just one's laying in bed, fully bedridden, and the other one's sitting in a chair the whole time. Very easy to animate.
So, yeah.
I love Van Gundy's. There's a bunch of Van Gundy's dancing around.
Yeah, we spent all our animation on a chain of Van Gundy's. Like holding on to Marty's leg and being dragged out.
Yeah. A reference to like 1994 for the nephews out there.
That one has a funniest note though, because in Craig's note, Craig does acting videos for everyone. And he's like trying to get all the Van Gundys to sing like really passionately. So it's like he should be put his hand to his ear and should be.
Yeah, do that. Like, you know, people like pull, go, yeah. I'm doing a video. This is audio. What am I doing?
Yeah. I had another question. If you don't mind.
All right, last one. Then we got some stuff for these guys. We prepared some special things.
Got it. What would you say for all three of you? What is you know as a writer you produce something. You always have like a favorite joke. That you write, what would you say of the series is like your personal favorite joke?
There's some that make me laugh out loud the most. There's some that like there's a little like one
like
thing
proud.
That I,
let's say proudest, the one that, that makes you laugh the most.
The thing that like makes me like physically laugh the most is when Lucky volunteers to put a soul into the soul box. There's an episode. Yeah. This is the mascot of the Celtics, and they have to like get the team chemistry to work. So they need people to put their egos into the same soul box that Popovich put all the Spurs souls into to make them like the Spurs. and no one volunteers. So Adam, if you can probably do the impression better than I can.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it. Give me that box. I'll do it.
But he like very proud, bravely volunteers.
That sounds a bit like foreplay. That's usually what I say right before bed.
the Mickey Mouse role play.
I actually didn't write this, but the thing that cracks me up the most is there's a Christmas episode with the Cobaditians, and just the banter between the Cobaditians cracks me up every time. And it's just like, they're just calling LeBron soft, and they're like talking about how he built a school and it makes him soft. And it's just like their little banter, and it's like, I don't know, 20 seconds or something. All that. I don't think I wrote any of that. I think that was all improv. And I think it's
It was like half written, half improvised. Yeah. And then it basically turned into like a bunch of kids that like, what would they say if they saw it?
Yeah, you're fucking soft. I don't know.
There are so many takes. I like, couldn't use that.
Yeah, I do like the Cobaditions. That's good. I like the Lucky part. No one liked that. Most fans didn't like that, but I like that part. The 2 minutes of describing like viscerally how he died over the course of like the 30 years. I like a lot of James Harden bits, like the AF. He's like, is it from like early seasons where he says like, to me, like that's a funny joke that like it was clever. It's weird saying, I don't know, but I would say that one where he's like, he thinks my defense is weak AF and he thinks it's a Donald Foyle. That was fun because we were able to find someone on the Warriors with AF and it felt like it was a very gratifying moment to put that puzzle together. That was way early though. Oh,
There's a great word joke in one of the Rockets episodes when he goes like
drawing fouls.
No, but there's another one where he says
it's pretty great.
He says like nay nay, and it's like he says nay nay, and then they're like no, nay nay's over there.
Nay's in another tent. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great note.
I like Myers Leonard not knowing what the mid level exception is.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That was basically us like actually not knowing what it is and then just writing into the script because we didn't want to define it. We didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I like the recurring bit of Blake Griffin doing stand-up, like rehearsing his stand-up like nervously. And I like that. We talked about this on Zach Lowe, but this is probably one of my favorite moments is the moment when they're doing the trade between the Clippers and the Pistons. You have Jerry West there and you have Stan Van and then Blake Griffin starts doing his stand-up to show that he's funny, but he starts telling the story about the strip club, and Doc Rivers is like, not that one, Blake, not that story. And then he changes it to a ref is blind joke, and Stan Van loses his shit. I don't know. There's something that's like, that scene is so complex and weird.
What's fun about the show, too, is I think there'll be a lot of references that people don't get. And this would happen to me in the writer's room where someone would write something, and I'd be like, I don't get this. And then you guys would explain it to me. Oh, it's like with Steve Ballmer, he goes like, developing. I'm like, what is this? And they're like, watch the reference. And then you go watch it, and then it's like an extra joke because you're like, oh, that's super funny. Like in the last episode, the finale, there's this joke about Embiid like do a 180, and it's a reference to a guy's appearance on Jeopardy when he thinks that's what Embiid's nickname is, do a 180, not the process. And so it's like you get this extra stuff when you find the reference. You get to watch, you know, watch the thing is referencing, and it's, I don't know, it's fun.
Well, it's interesting because it's like a collage in some ways. Like reference comedy is like really like obviously people don't like it, but this show is like this weird collage of references where we take all these references and then weave them together in a way like it actually makes sense in a story. And so like it's like, I don't know, there's something there that like, it's like, I can't say this. It's hard for me to say this seriously, but it's like high level reference comedy in a way.
It's like referencers.
Tons of references weaved together really into a sculpture.
They're like a bunch of basketball references.
What was the Fultz joke during the rookie one?
He hits. He doesn't want to play. And then he also when he finally plays, he knocks Embiid's head off.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. That was a good one.
I'm not ready.
All right. You guys never let me do a voice. All right. Okay. That's cool.
Wonder why.
Oh, for the best.
Yeah.
I don't even think you let yourself do a voice for Spurs Special Force.
I'm not in. I play like the straight characters like that now.
When we made Yeah, when we made the Porzingis cartoon, I feel like you did like some like
I did some New random, York guys. I did some New York yeah, guys. That's really easy.
Guys taking bullets for Porzingis.
I think that was a matchup, by the way. It was the "Hey, I'm White Walking here."
Yeah, yeah. And it was like nobody pointed it out as a good joke. There were like people quoting. There people were quoting every other reference from that bit. Was like, oh, look at this joke. And the one thing I contributed was like completely glossed over. So
I saw a comment, someone liked it. Someone said that like it's a reference to Chris Mullin because he's from Brooklyn. Someone liked it, I sent some thread. So there was one.
You guys also didn't use any of my book pitches. So in the final scene, Paul Pierce.
We did.
Oh, we did? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. But if you want to explain.
Because in the final scene, Paul Pierce puts a book, the Game of Zones book, on the shelf. And so there was a doc where we were pitching like ancient texts. And I think what you guys are rightly, smartly went with was books that would be written by Paul Pierce on that bookshelf.
Right. But we still put the top shelf has some of this, like the DOS technical in there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That one's there.
I thought Jordan Shrugged by Air Rand is like some of your finest work.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's in there.
All right. Let's. So we play a game on Super Hoopers called Guess the Avi. This is where we take tweets and you guys have to. Well, usually it's Dave and John, but since you're here, you guys have to guess aspects of the Twitter avatar. So you guys declared Paul Pierce the GOAT in the final episode. Paul Pierce loved it. Paul Pierce tweeted, "Game of Zones series finale, season 7, episode 4, settles all this debate. Goat crying emoji." And then he made himself in the show where he's crowned goat, his Twitter avatar, new profile pic. So I'm going to read you tweets. These are all responses to that tweet. They're all responses to Paul Pierce declaring him the GOAT. All right, I'm going to ask you questions. So see how well you do. So one of the responses from Jason Blackhair: "Ah, I see you're a man of culture. Game of Zones is the best basketball series ever made. My question to you, ah, I see you're a man of culture. Is your spelled correctly or is it a grammatical error? What do you think?"
I'm going spelled correctly.
I'm going grammatical error.
Oh, point for Craig. He spelled your Y-O-U-R.
Okay. If you're going to say you're a man of culture, you're projecting because you don't know how to spell.
Yeah, okay. All right, point for Craig. Next one. So someone responded to Paul Pierce declaring he's a GOAT by saying, "Here's your throne, and it's a picture of a toilet." Reference to Paul Pierce shatting himself, which was referenced several times, I think. Actually, I'm pretty sure the whole final season was just an excuse to do shart jokes. My question to you is, which famous coach is in this guy's avatar? He has a famous basketball coach in the avatar. Take a guess.
Stanley.
What did he say again? What was the thing he said?
"Here's your throne, and it's a picture of a toilet."
What was the name of the Lakers coach? Dell Harris?
Oh, Dell Harris.
I'm going Dell Harris.
Now, Adam, I said famous coach, so probably not going to be a coach that you don't know the name of. But okay, Dell Harris. Stan Van Gundy, you going Stan Van?
I really shouldn't go Stan Van. That's such a random person. I'm going to go Pat Riley.
Okay, it is Greg Popovich. No points for either one.
Good one.
Okay. Oh, wait, so John and Dave aren't guessing here. It's just me versus
No. Just you two. It'd be two. Okay. It'd be two, I think.
Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna step it up. I was giving Craig a head start. Now I'm gonna get serious. I knew it wasn't Dell.
All right. So somebody's response. Actually, I can read their name. Flips on, Dr. Clutch. Actually, at Dr. Clutch.
Okay.
So their response. I should treat them with respect. They have a doctorate, apparently. Their response to Paul Pierce declaring him the GOAT is devil worship, SMH. In their Twitter bio, my question to you. Is there a Bible verse? Is there "I'm nothing without my Savior"? Oof. Is there a "Jesus is my general manager"? Or none of the above?
Oof.
C is too clever. Craig, you want to go first? I went first.
None of the above? Okay.
I'm going, can it be, it's probably not A and B, but I'm going to go.
So it's Bible verse, "I'm nothing without my Savior, Jesus is my general manager," or none of the above.
I'm going to go with B.
Oh, tied. We're tied up. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Adam,
this person is. I'm nothing without my Savior. My faith in Jesus saved me. So yeah, I can't tell if he's actually serious about this being devil worship.
Mm. It could be a bit. It could be a bit.
Could be a bit.
It could be a bit. It's just. Yeah. All right. Next one. Clown emoji, clown emoji, clown emoji. LeBron made the big three an afterthought and a joke, causing them to broke up, and Ray Allen went to join LeBron. He's just salty. If it wasn't for Ray, Kevin, you wouldn't ever won a championship. Remember that, people. Hashtag king of nothing. All right.
Okay. Wow.
My question to you, does this man in his avatar, is there an athlete? Is there an anime character? Or is this the classic sunglass in car guy? You know, the classic where people take the picture.
Oh, wow, yeah, yeah. Those guys are bad. Yeah, those, okay, that's a...
Was this an athlete, an anime, or a sunglass and car guy?
I don't wait. So wait, I need to hear the tweet. Can you say? I know this is good audio, but I gotta hear the tweet again.
The tweet is just a long tweet of attacking Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, but it's supporting. Okay, attacking Paul Pierce is not supporting the Heat. Okay, okay.
It's like LeBron made the big three an afterthought.
So the reason I'm asking is because a guy in the car with the sunglasses, they don't like LeBron. So that's smart. What I'm saying. So, Craig, go ahead. You go.
Anime.
I'm going athlete. I'm going athlete.
Sunglass car guy.
Oh, wow.
It
was broken English. So.
Yeah, it's tough.
Sunglass car guy.
Some good logic, though. They usually don't like. Like LeBron.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. Another response to Paul Pierce declaring himself the GOAT. Hell no. The real GOAT is KD. ! 100 emoji. Ooh. All right, my question.
What a KD's burners.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My question to you: it does this person have KD in their avatar? Is their name on Twitter KD's number one fan, or is their handle KD best player 34? Oh, sorry, KD best player 35. Yeah. So KD in the avatar. KD's number one fan is the name, or is it at KD best player 35 as the handle?
My head says the last one, but my heart says KD number one fan.
I'm going to go with KD's picture. Hey.
Okay. Now, if I gave you the option of all of the above, would you take the all of the above option?
Yes. I think, this sounds like one of that door paradox. Yeah, I think I gotta go all in.
Okay, it is. It is indeed all of the above. All right. Yeah, yeah. KD's murder. Okay. Well, it's tied up. So I feel like I gotta do one more to.
Let's go.
Untie. Okay. All right. So I have some positive responses. Okay, so I have some positive responses. Let me try the best of these positive responses. Okay, go off king. Okay, that someone just responded, go off king. My question to you, did this person also make their Twitter avatar the Paul Pierce goat picture? Or in his bio, does it say obnoxious Boston sports fan?
Craig, I know what I'm going to pick, but I don't know. I'm going
well,
B.
Then pick it, and I'll take whatever the opposite is.
I'm going B. Are you kidding me? He didn't. No. There's only one Paul Pierce go picture, and that's Paul Pierce. This is Boston sports fan, obnoxious Boston sports fan, all the way. Final answer.
A. All right. Adam wins. Although there is, so I actually have a bunch of here positive responses, and there is someone else who made their avatar picture.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
But his response was much more measured. He just said, yes, sir. But the the obnoxious Boston sports fan said, go off, king. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's all I have for you.
Good job.
Congrats, hey, Adam.
Good job,
congrats,
guys.
Adam.
Thank you.
The other thing that I prepared for you guys is I found a comment on the Reddit, the Reddit thread for the final episode, a comment that it really spoke to me. It's very poetic, and I sent it to Dave, and I thought Dave could do a dramatic reading of this comment, just to get your reaction. It's pretty long, so buckle up. And I don't know if Dave, if you have
yeah, but I'll keep your attention.
Tony Parker.
No, this needs to be. Well, do whatever you want, Dave.
I'll do it. I'll do it as Matt envisioned it.
Okay.
As Matt envisioned it. Sorry, Craig. Sorry.
Yeah. True to the director.
Lost
Matt. Matt was very specific about this comment. Jordan fucking Farmar, man. I went to high school with the dude, and back then, he went with the pronunciation Farmer. We had a few classes together, one being a period in which our school would make announcements. Every fucking week, Jordan Farmer would be showered in praise and have his accolades pushed into my head, all while he would sit there like a moronic 14-year-old, all self-satisfied that he had actual talent and potential. My overweight pubescent self would sit there stewing and cursing that the school wasn't talking about me. Who cared about Farmer's stupid triple doubles? I was 4'10" and weighed in at 130 pounds and could ollie up a curb. That should be on the fucking announcements, man. Fast forward a few years to 2006. I'm unemployed, still living with my parents, spending all night jacking off to stuff like this video of a girl going down a water slide and her bikini top flies off. I was working part-time at Jamba Juice and smoothies couldn't pay the bills. One day after coming home from a really long shift in which several children insulted me for still having braces, I log into LiveJournal and see several old friends posting that Jordan Farmer had been drafted to the Lakers. My Lakers. The worst part is that he's now going by Jordan Farmar? Revisionist history. All I ever had on this stud was that I could mock his farmer boy last name, but this genius got out in front of all that shit and changed the pronunciation. I ended up fired from Jamba Juice shortly after. Sitting in my childhood bedroom at age 20 with a mouthful of braces, all I could think about was Farmer Boy and the harem of Tarzana's finest trim I assumed he kept. Sitting there, jacking off to water park porn, my mind would betray me, and I'd see his face and have to put my penis away. He ruined jacking for me. I've been in the company of women, intimate company, and been unable to perform because I recall that fucking dunk he had on KG in the finals. The fact that this dude got to achieve his dreams and was able to pull off a huge con with the Farmer to Farmar, man, that chaps my hide hard as hell.
Bravo. Bravo.
Wow,
bravo.
That was...
Wow. Bravo,
Dave. I can't believe somebody wrote
that's a response to in one of the, and you guys didn't see that comment? That's the first time you're hearing the comment?
I assumed you wrote that,
Matt.
No. That's
score
a real,
below threshold.
I'm pretty sure it's whatever pasta, copy pasta.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like some weird Jordan Farmer copy pasta that comes out whenever he
does. It sounds like copy pasta, but that was a actual comment to the finale. It's still there. I check. That's like maybe you guys didn't get down to it, but you know I got a lot of time on my hands. I was sifting through the comments, seeing if anybody pointed out the white walking here joke. So
I think you got to search and see that text and see if that exists anywhere else or if this is a unique comment. Because if it is a unique comment, it is a thing of beauty that this just exists somewhere. Yeah. Someone wrote this beautiful thing about Jordan Farmer. Yeah. Beautiful.
As a work of art, let's assume that this is unique to this. As a work of art, do you think this is better than the final season of Game of Zones? Or
look, I'm just proud that we inspired something like that to be made. I mean, that's
yeah.
Why I think this. Jordan Farmar had more to do with the inspiration of that one.
Well, I will say it checks out. Farmar is from the Valley. I've seen him in the Valley multiple times. So Tarzana is in the Valley. So it, you know, the facts of it check out.
I find this interesting that this person's from SoCal. The Malmo brothers have not seen this comment, and you sent it to me. Yeah. It's just interesting. Yeah, so this is not autobiographical.
At one point, I was 4'10" and weighed 130 pounds and could ollie up a curve. Right. So I can see that. I can see that.
It all checks out.
So here's something else that checks out, okay, is that I think that Jordan in Farmer in high school probably didn't want to correct people about his name, so he said just Farmer. He's probably okay with it. But once he started becoming confident and he started doing things in the NBA, he's like, you know what? People are going to say my name right now, and I have the confidence to let people know how it's actually supposed to be said. So that makes me think this is also legit, because I believe that maybe in high school he did go by Farmer, but this asshole, you know, not for the reasons he's saying.
I can see that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that. It's like a symbol of his maturity. It's like how people change their name from Danny to Dan when they get to a certain age.
I think maybe we'll get sued by him, but I think we should make a short film out of that, and I could play the guy like talking.
You lost the role in the reading. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's pretty typical.
I'm waiting for Dave to like 4'130".
Yeah, that's true.
I'm waiting for Dave to have the confidence to let him know his last name is Futternick. One day he'll correct
it. It is true. Go on other people's podcasts and they always say Futternick and I don't correct them because I'm like, I just don't care.
Because you're destined for the NBA.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. We should probably let you guys go. We've held you long enough, I would imagine.
Oh, I've got one thing.
Oh, okay. Great.
Just as like a Game of Zone super fan.
Philly shit coming.
As a guy who's watched every episode. I just want to read a DM I actually sent Adam. It says here, great job with Game of Zones this season. It's incredible. Just wanted to let you guys know. FYI, I keep telling Matt I haven't watched yet just to piss him off. Gonna see how long I can string him along. Gotta keep him from getting a big head. Go Sixers. That was April 27th, 2018.
Oh damn!
So
long con.
Thank you, Adam, for keeping up with it.
You conned me too.
Thank you. Yep, it's a deep con.
Wow!
Deep con.
Was that real? Is that true?
Yes.
Wait, Adam, did you know that John watches the show?
To be honest, I legitimately forgot about that.
Hold on. Wow, it's the perfect crime.
It's so good.
Wait, hold on.
His response.
Yeah, no, this is real. This is real. I completely forgot, and I've legitimately been asking Matt. I've been like, is he watching it? Is John? I listen to your guys' podcast all the time, and I'm like, is John gonna watch the show? I completely forgot. This is true. I feel like a real fool.
So John was trying to pull a long con on me, and he also pulled a long con on you, Adam.
I on myself.
It was great.
I have text from Adam recently saying, "Why has John not watched it?"
What a great guy. Adam's response was, "LOL, thanks. I'm a big fan of the podcast. Go Sixers." And then a TJ McConnell gif.
Wow, that really gets it.
Seems right.
Long con. Beautiful, John. Wow. Beautiful, John.
Wow.
So you've actually seen the last season.
Of course. I've watched every episode the day it came out. It is, guys, you've created one of the best things of NBA Twitter and NBA franchise. And it's absolutely magical. It's great. And you guys really put your stamp on the last, five, 6 years of I think, pop culture of what we've done. And the fact that Matt would think I wouldn't watch it out of spite for him
is so painful. To be honest, I was like, as I was preparing this podcast, I was like, man, like, what the hell? Like, how come John hasn't watched it? Why would you think
I would do that? I am a very generous person to you guys.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Why would you not? Why? That's why
I help you in your shorts all the time. I do so much, and you think I would literally stop watching one of the best things because you started working on it.
John, what does that say about you?
I have been outsmarting you for over 2 years for this one joke to pay off today. And here it is.
It's a great
payoff. Finally paid off.
Yeah, me too. Anytime.
I got him. Wow.
You know, I got to say that you asked the question earlier, which is when did we know that we made it? And I'm going to say that for me, that moment is right now. Okay. Because I have been like, when is John going? For some reason, I missed that because I must have been like not fully. I must have been like in a.
It was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago. It's a long time.
You back in 2018, and then now you relearned it.
As a Super Hoopers super fan, okay, this is the fact that John has watched every episode is wow. That's a big deal. Like, I knew Dave. Dave and I are like best Twitter friends. But wow, John.
No. Hey. Yeah, you said, that's why I poured champagne tonight, folks.
Yeah, my guy over there. My Philly brother over there. He wouldn't let me down. No way.
Never let you down. Oh, no. Us scumbags stick together.
Yeah, you all don't even understand.
We don't have to keep you guys here. I was gonna ask John about Hinky and stuff in the last episode, but you know.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great. I also love real quick, now that I've admitted my ruse. There was the last episode a callback to the Thon Maker joke?
What do you mean?
Not the last episode, but the 702. Yeah, when Windhorse holds the book up, and is that referred to? Because Windhorse holds the book up that has the histories, and that says as Naismith, and it ties into the Thon Maker stuff.
Like, yes.
So Naismith is Thon Maker. So we haven't thought it that much.
The media haven't figured it out yet.
Yep. Okay. All right, now I can ask you now that I can admit that I've been watching the show every week.
You guys,
I gotta admire the commitment to the bit.
So good.
I just think it's cool that you told Zach Lowe how you'd listen to his podcast on the way to the office and it inspired you, and we had a very similar effect on you guys. So that's really cool. That's really cool. Just like in a negative way, but it's like a yin and the yang kind of thing.
That's what Craig was talking about. You had to think about the haters. Yeah. The haters keep you, Adam was in there tinkering with the episodes, trying to get John to watch. He was he was shoving as much Sixers garbage in the episodes.
Cheese steaks.
Hoping that if Sixers Twitter starts talking about it, maybe. Little John would tune in.
Well, you guys put us in the episode. You put us in the boat.
Right. Yeah.
That
is
true. Yeah.
Well, did Matt tell you? I put on Reddit. I tried a little guerrilla marketing. I posted that and I said, "Hey, does anyone get this Game of Zones reference?"
Everyone was like,
"I think I saw that."
Yeah,
I did see that. Yeah.
That was John's guerrilla marketing.
Little guerrilla marketing.
Really? People were like, "No, I get all the other podcasts, but what's that?"
Someone responded. They said, "Super Hoopers," unless that was you too. Said like,
"I think that was Matt."
That was a long time runs in the family.
Yeah.
That was our guerrilla marketing.
In all seriousness, though, like, I will listen to your guys' podcast also when I was like, all right, I have to be in like a good, funny basketball mood. So like, this would be like Zach Lowe, you can listen to, and that's where I'll learn stuff about like, that's what the Raptors are thinking, I see. Mm. But like, there not a lot of jokes come from like, trade scenarios, for like certain teams. But you guys give a lot of that. You go through the silly stuff, and so that's when if I need to be in a fun mood, Super Hoopers is my go-to. I recommend. I'm a Super Hoopers evangelist. So.
Not Craig though. Craig doesn't listen to a single episode. Craig don't give someday. A fuck. Someday, maybe Craig. You'll.
Craig just listens to the daily.
Literally, that is exactly right,
dude. I know I'm a huge fan of your guys. I watch every episode.
Well, I'm super excited to see what you guys do next. I mean,
it's gonna be awesome.
I hope we get to see it soon. I don't know. I guess nothing's in the works, but or maybe things are in the works, nothing finalized. But yeah, we'd love to see whatever it is.
Yeah, so, we're right now. Thank you. Yeah, right now just taking meetings, and Craig and I are coming up with some silly ideas, and we'll see what happens. But we want to try something beyond sports at this point. So,
right. It's tough. It's tough for a Craig non-sports fan to do a sports show. So
yeah. Imagine devoting like 6 years of your life to making content about something you know nothing about.
Yeah, it's kind of like devoting 6 years of your life to getting a PhD in something that you don't really care about. It's rough. It's
or
rough.
Like doing the Super Hoopers for 6 years.
That's probably about as long as
I rooted for Colangelo, guys. Yeah.
How do you feel about that episode, by the way, John? The Colangelo burger episode.
The collars. I love them in the finale again. It was great. We actually, me and my wife, we have a giant projector, an Epson projector. We played it on the big screen. The last season. Yeah.
This is that moment for me. I'm blushing. This is that moment for me. Like, I made it. All right. Yeah.
So good. All right. Well, we'll see y'all.
Thanks, guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thank you, boys.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
Right, boys. Bye, Super Hoopers.
See ya. Thank you.
Craig's still here. Now talk.
What's up, Craig?
Leaving.
Ready to talk mid-level exception?
Get out.
Get out of here. Get out of here so we can finally talk about... Wow, John.
Wow. Ugh.
I love it. That may be what one of your best bits of all time.
Absolutely.
He messaged me earlier today and was like, I'm going to drop this on Matt.
Yeah.
I hit up...
Been watching the whole time.
Well, last week when you were like, Adam keeps asking, I'm like, oh, shit, Adam's in it. Adam's in on it. Well, Adam's in on it.
Adam always, he always texts me like, oh, how come John did so? Oh, I was like, oh man, Adam's been committed to this bit too for all these years.
Well, for a while, like I've talked about Game of Zones to you.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, Matt must know I've watched because I like referenced the joke or something. Mm. And I know I've told you like congrats on it.
Right.
But I figured you'd figure it out at one point. But I overestimated your intelligence once again.
No,
and then
a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and then I DM'd Adam today. I was like, "Hey, we're gonna pay off the bit. I hear you've been asking and whatever." He's like, "All right, great." And I told him I was like, "Yeah, just like play it like, you know." Well, this morning for you went off in a group chat with me and Dave today.
Oh, that's right.
I mean,
I thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be funny to kick you. I thought as a bit, I thought it'd be funny to kick you out of the Zoom call.
Matt was just adamant today. He's like, "Listen, you haven't watched, and you're gonna get exposed. Adam's gonna ask you about it, and you will be exposed, and you will be embarrassed, and you will look like a fool, and we will kick you off." And you were like, "I'm serious. You might be gone permanently." I was like, "Are you kicking me off the fucking podcast?"
No. I didn't say permanently. I said just the episode. We're just gonna kick
Kick you off, and you'll be done. And I was like, I think you're taking. And what I write, I was like, "Ooh, I'm so scared."
You called me a Karen. You called me.
I called you a Karen. I was like, "Look at Matt trying to kick me off the pod."
I do got the Karen hair going right now. So
yeah, really you put some Oakley. Put some Oakleys on. You look like a Karen.
Oh, man.
It was great. And then I told Adam, I said, "Look, ask me questions like, what's your favorite episodes, and I'll give you bullshit answers. Like, I love them all."
Wow.
That was good. That was good.
A bit. Should we quickly you gotta
ask yourself, what other cons have I been running?
Get
on your toes. No, I'm just joking.
Hopefully you've been running on some sort of long con prank on the fast break breakfast. We still owe them.
I know.
Yeah.
Be bothered, basically.
I've been selling the Get At Me Dog segment to Allstate. And I've actually made $400,000 on it. I just haven't told you guys.
I literally have money in my PayPal account from our time on our last network. So,
wow.
It's like $75. So don't worry.
Hey.
When this thing's over, we'll all go to New Orleans and I'll give you all your share.
Oh yeah, cool.
We're gonna splurge it on po' boys.
It's like my mom told me my high school graduation present. She was gonna take me buy me a trip, and she just never did.
Okay. Apparently, I used to bring my laundry home from college, you know, and my mom apparently charged me for doing the laundry like my entire college career. She
took quarters from you?
She like charged. No, she went in my bank account and like took laundry money because she's like, well, she's like, if you can't do your laundry yourself, I'm going to charge you. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, mom. And so she did in my entire college career. I found out. So
wow.
Anyways, should we quickly do Get At Me Dog?
Let's do it.
Get At Me Dog this week is Paul. This is where tweeted NBA players score points if they respond. This week, Paul Pierce, of course, the GOAT of Game of Zones. So we haven't really talked about the finale of Game of Zones, by the way. We came up with making Paul Pierce the GOAT, like whatever, January or whatever. And I thought it was so funny to like have all this buildup, and then it's just Paul Pierce is the GOAT. And I was so I was waiting for last Thursday when the episode dropped, like for like the past months, just to see the reaction of people. People, surprisingly, I think took it a lot better than I thought, but I thought like people are going to be like legitimately pissed off. Like, what the fuck, Paul Pierce? But I loved it.
I mean, like every other comment is like, man, fuck, like what a like letdown, but also it's parody of Game of Thrones, so it's like get away with whatever the fuck you want. Like,
did you, John? Did you finish Game of Thrones? By the way,
yeah.
Okay,
I caught up before the final season.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's what I did too, actually. Like we watched the final season live.
Did you like, so John, you like the final season? I mean, we already talked about this.
Yeah. Did you, Dave?
No.
Final season. Oh, really?
I thought the final, I think the final two or three seasons are all pretty bad, but.
Oh, I don't agree with that. But I like having watched it like all in like basically a month and then watching the last season live, like I was just like, I don't know. I was like thoroughly disappointed. And then the last episode was absolute trash. Well,
that was
absolute trash.
It was so much fun working on the final season of Game of Zones, because we were like, well, if we fuck it up and people hate it, we could just say, hey, it's a parody. It's like, we're like, Game of Thrones gave us the ultimate out, because like, no matter what we do, if it's as bad as Game of Thrones, we could just say, hey, we're just going for Game of Thrones.
I mean, I do wonder if like the Game of Thrones creators watch Game of Zones.
No, they don't. I don't think they like basketball at all. So,
well, oh, because I mean, that we know of.
Right.
Because I'm wondering, has this like stoked so much hatred of the finale that like they have to have like it, like I feel like they must have watched it.
No, but
the finale, not the series. Maybe. But I feel like they must have watched the finale, because like people it's millions and millions of views. People they know had to have hit them up and be like, oh man, people are like ripping the Game of Thrones finale again for a second time.
Well, like on other podcasts, people have asked Craig and Adam about the reaction, and I don't think they've never heard from anybody associated with Game of Thrones. They've heard from lots of NBA players and coaches, and agents, and everything, but
yeah,
no Game of Zones people. But
I don't know. Yeah. I have very low expectations for finales, and I look at and because I think because we binged it, like there's definitely a vibe of. I 100% believe that binge watching is completely different than watching regularly.
Definitely.
100%, oh, absolutely.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. So like I watched it and like kind of like everything that people complained about, I was kind of like, oh, I saw that coming anyway. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like what's her name's turn at the end. They were like, how could you, Daenerys, how could she become bad? It's like, oh, I thought that was so obvious the whole time.
Well, I think,
but it may have been obvious, but it was still like, bad.
No. I for the final season, I think the beats are fine. Like all the beats, what happens is like fine. It's just the execution was so poor. Like it's just the way
and it just felt so jumbled and rushed. Like it just felt like so like contrived.
But I
just like let's just force all this shit into the finale.
Yeah,
it just felt and the brand thing is not good. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
I think
like,
I just
good.
Like had. Less like where people were like naming their kids Game of Thrones characters. I was just like, whatever. This is just like a fucking action show. Like I didn't have that much. I didn't consider it the greatest show of all time anyway. Yeah, so the ending was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
You're pretty forgiving though, John. I think you're generally pretty easy on shows.
Well, I know how hard it is to make stuff.
It's true.
So fucking hard. And no matter what, you do and how like it's so hard and to do for six seasons and to have all that impossible.
What people don't understand is it's just as hard to make something bad as it is to make something good. It's like the exact same effort level, you know, in terms of production wise, like shooting it, the sets, you know, all that, the special effects, like all of that is the same. Yeah, writing wise, yeah, definitely. And I will say, like Craig and Adam don't talk about it, but Adam, they both like work super hard on the scripts to make sure the scripts are good. Me not so much, you know, I would toss off a draft here or there, but you know.
No, the show is incredible. Like game, like, you know, it's really just outstanding. Like we actually caught up, I think, with the last three episodes, not when they aired this year. Because we just got busy when it came out or whatever. But we watched like the last three maybe a week ago on the big screen here at my house. And yeah, it was just like chock full of like constant great jokes and deep meanings. Yeah. And like, ugh, like Jesus Christ, these guys are smart.
Right.
Like so good. So, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully
despite your bad ideas each week. So.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce. I just tweeted at Paul Pierce. I actually did this the day the episode aired. I retweeted his new profile pic and said, Paul Pierce, the true GOAT, confirmed. All right. What did you guys tweet?
I said I made a little Photoshop of him as a judge, Judge Pierce, with the headband on. And like I made like a title card called The Truth. And I said, damn, this new show on CBS with Paul Pierce as a judge looks dope as hell. You can't lie to the truth.
I looked at the things he liked, and he liked this one girl's tweet, so I copied and pasted it verbatim. It said, I just need you for you to say hi to me, Paul Pierce. That would be nice, and it would make this hashtag stay home, hashtag quarantine and chill all worth it. Green heart shamrock, hashtag bleed green forever. Plus, I added a Paul Pierce gift.
Anybody get a response?
Nope.
Paul Pierce, a tough one. He's a tough one.
He's tough.
He goes in modes.
Yeah.
That day of the Game of Zones thing, like he was tweeting a lot.
He did like three tweets about it. I loved it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's like the cherry on top of the finale that he like embraced it so hard.
Yeah. We were hoping that he would be into it, and he was
also really funny, just the whole like, well, he called game. He once hit a shot, and they asked him if he called bank, and he called game, and everyone's like, "Yeah, wow, he really should be the GOAT."
Quick shout out to Beefs. I guess we should briefly talk about the NBA maybe returning July 25th or something.
Should we talk about it next week?
We can do it next week.
Yeah,
we've gone really long. I want to briefly say that I am in favor of the World Cup format with the
that sounds fun
with the groups. That does sound
totally like that. I agree. I think they I'm usually not for like crazy change. I kind of like what's been going on.
I'm personally shocked that you're for that. I thought for sure we were going to have an argument about it, but yeah.
No, I mean, I'm a big, like, I think everything's been working so far, and like, but obviously with this quarantine, let's go wild. Like, because no matter what, this year is going to be, I don't want to say tainted, because I don't think it's fair, because I think if you win the championship, you still win the championship. But it's going to be this weird thing no matter what. Like, let's make it as exciting as possible. Right. Let's have a division draft. Let's pick four teams and then let them play it out. And let's just, like, let's give the fans as much fun as they can. Yeah. And I think the weirder it gets, the more the more random it gets, it's going to be way more exciting.
Yeah. The proposal, just to lay out the proposal, it's 20 teams, the top 20 teams, five teams in each group. The five teams in each group play each other twice. Top two teams advance on to an actual 8-team playoff. Yeah. And then it gets like the four bubble teams, Portland, Sacramento, the Pelicans, and I'm forgetting the other one. There's another West team I'm forgetting. Oh, the Spurs.
Memphis.
Memphis is the 8th
seed.
It's just fun. Those games would all mean something, and then we would, you know, they'd be fun to watch. I don't know. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure by the time this airs, like that will have something different or something out there, some other new proposal. Yeah. But that one sounded fun.
Yeah. That one did sound fun.
One beef. Someone on our iTunes the other day.
Oh, no. New review?
New review.
Oh, no.
Header, not great.
Oh, no.
2 stars. Gave a listen and came away disappointed. Recommend you get your NBA talk from somewhere else.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, passing through too. Nobody comes here for NBA talk.
Yeah.
They come here to be entertained, motherfucker.
Come on, dude. We're talking about surfing and shit.
Yeah.
This ain't fucking Simmons and Russillo. Is that what you were expecting?
It's Russillo and Russillo over here. Come on.
Yeah. We're three Russillos fucking being dope.
I am so glad that person doesn't listen to our pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so
I still
glad.
I still want to find the guy. One of my goals in life, maybe after the quarantine, is to find the guy who gave us a bad review because I said Josh Hart's better than Markelle Fultz. I want to track him down. Unfortunately, Markelle Fultz has had a bit of a resurgence.
No, he
Josh
hasn't.
Hart has kind of had a rough year. I still would take Hart ahead of Fultz, but I want to find this man.
Same. Yeah, and I'm boys with Josh Hart, so
that's right. John talked to him once.
Yeah.
I do think like they should make the accounts of people leaving reviews clickable and you should be able to respond to them, then you wouldn't have so many cowards leaving these troll jobs, dude.
Yeah.
I will say like we talked a little bit about it with the Game of Zones thing, and it with Game of Zones it's actually almost all positive, so it's like hard to find a negative comment.
Yeah.
But on stuff I've done previously that have had negative comments, it's like nice to like go look at their, like when you see someone do a negative comment on Reddit, you can see what else they post, and oftentimes you can tell, oh, this is an idiot, and that like makes you feel right. Good. Like, oh, this is like a mega yes. person, or like this. I remember someone gave me a bad review on one of my videos on YouTube, and then I clicked on their liked videos and it was like literally Nickelback videos. And I was like, okay, like this person, I don't feel that's bad actually, about this anymore. So I would.
Yeah, that's actually better.
Exactly. Better. Yeah. So it's like, if we could click on that guy's review and see that his like favorite podcast is dunked on, that would make us a lot better. Be iTunes, get on that. Unfortunately, Apple in general has completely like fumbled in terms of like, you know, monetizing podcasts and being like at the forefront of the podcast space. Quick, go ahead. Yeah,
I was gonna say one more beef with Matt. I believe you told John and I that we were gonna be interviewing the Malmut brothers, and then proceeded to, in typical Matt fashion, proceeded to conduct the entire interview yourself.
I didn't even notice that. Sorry, I didn't notice that. I'm sorry.
I
was listening to Matt's questions, like, damn, this con's going on way too long. Stop talking, man.
I'm sorry. I thought I was giving space.
To be expected.
I thought I was giving space.
No, it's five people. There is no space.
It's true.
It's five fucking people.
I was shout out to the great city and the great county of LA with the COVID testing, baby. I went on that website, signed up for a test, walked down to the testing site. Took 5 minutes. That popped a swab in the nose. Not even that bad. People say it's invasive. Felt just a little tickle. Real easy to get the COVID test out here in LA.
You
don't have the results yet. Don't have the results yet. So knock on wood.
We did a drive through one the other day.
Oh, nice.
No nose. Just the swab.
Oh, just the swab, huh?
Yeah.
Did you do Dodger Stadium?
Dodger Stadium. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Negative.
Look at us.
Look at us.
You got a negative, John?
We can hang out. Let's go to Slab. Let's go to Slab.
We can shoot something, baby. I don't got my results yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's wait for Matt's results.
John, I got news for you. You could have contracted it between the time you got tested and now.
I thought, hold on a second. I'm going to the testing site. Where there's probably lots of people with
it. Oh, yeah. A lot of
people. So I'm like, this is true. If I'm going to get it, it's going to be at the testing site. Now, the testing site was pretty sterile. Like, there was nobody there. You just kind of walk into a room, and there's, like, a nurse.
You went inside.
Yeah, there's no drive. It was not a drive-in one near me. The one I went to is at Santa
Monica. The virus grows inside. I don't know,
I know, but the setup made me comfortable. But, next time I'll probably look for the drive-thru. You know?
When I pulled up, I rolled my window all the way down. The guy was like, you could just crack it. Put that window back up, buddy.
I know. Seriously,
like, crack that. You just gotta get this little swab.
Those people are the people who volunteer for like the work at the COVID testing place. It's like, that's gotta be the most dangerous spot you could work right now.
Terrible.
Yep. Yeah.
They had like a giant, there was like a receptionist and they were literally encased in plastic. There was like a giant plastic shower curtain like around them. And they're just like, you have to like shout your name, you know?
Then
you go to the nurse and the nurse does the thing. So anyways, we'll see.
One quick shout out because I keep forgetting. Shout out to you two and my wife and Necro G. I had a birthday a couple weeks ago and my wife
got
Fiverr'd a Necro G song and asked a bunch of my friends to participate in the video and dance for it. Dave killed it. Did a wonderful dance for it. He's my wife's favorite person now. Because of all your sport.
Hell yeah.
Matt kind of phoned it in, used his kid like usual. But Necro G really killed the song. He really did.
Are we the main employer of Necro G at this point?
We might be. Yo, he killed the birthday song. And
he was great.
And he like sampled our podcast.
He
found our COVID tests, our takes, and he looped them in the song.
Yeah. Because even though I was barely in the video, I heard myself a lot talking.
So. Yeah. We'll post the sample part maybe on the Patreon. Right. Not the whole song. That's a private song for but yeah. Maybe at the beginning.
Oh yeah, there's some naked stuff in the video. So
there might. I wasn't naked. I was in it was
not
like
you.
A body suit.
Not you. Other people were naked in the video.
Oh yeah, yeah. Someone's baby. Yes.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I'm not naked in there.
No. You're not naked. In the video.
Yeah. So we won't post the video, but.
We could also just send the entire 3 minutes of me dancing
maybe
to
that's,
the song.
Maybe that's
we'll do that.
We'll post that.
Maybe we'll post that.
We'll post
pretty
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right. Well, shouts to Adam and Craig. Thanks for
Adam
coming
and Craig,
on.
Great job.
Yeah. Thank you, boys. Thank you, boys. Good up. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys.
See ya.
All right.
Keep pooping.
And...
about basketball trusting Lonzo Ball is a big ball of us. Think you're funny, nah, but y'all is butt. Laugh at your own jokes more than all of us. You just washed up dicks, say listen to our shows, but tune in and get politics and fart jokes. Yo, a big zero is what your net worth. Y'all got kicked off the B-ball network. That means it doesn't work, or you're whack lately. Ain't getting smirks like Matt's fat baby. Wait, man, I ain't hating, nah, I'm just jealous. Boy, am I glad I don't look like Ellen. Super Hoopers, ah, what crap is that? Yup, dude, it's another NBA podcast. B-ball talk, nah, an hour of wisecracks. Ah, fuck y'all, give me that hour of my life back. Super Hoopers, what crap is that? Yup, dude, it's another NBA podcast. B-ball talk, nah, an hour of wisecracks. Ah, fuck y'all, give me that hour of my life back.